Hi, this is Sarah France. You're listening to Camera Dojo with Carrie Garrison and David Esquire.
Welcome to Camera Dojo, the official podcast of CameraDojo.com, where we help you make the most out of your photography. This is your host, Carrie Garrison, and going on, what are we at? 46 shows with my good old co-host, Sir David Esquire.
Please, sir. Should be more like Signor Consiglieri, Sir Esquire. That sounds a little more appropriate. Got to, you know, beef up that ego and that it a little bit more.
Well, you know, I threw the sir in there. I was trying to make it, you know, I was doing what we could, right?
Whatever.
But we are in the midst of the busy wedding season here in sunny SoCal, and it has been hot, hot, hot. Not looking forward to a 10-hour shoot this weekend. I'm just going to be roasted. Maybe I'll sweat off a few pounds.
Dude, it's not even going to be hot this weekend.
It's not? Oh,
it's supposed to cool off. We're getting out of those 100-degree weather.
Sweet. You know, temperatures. It has been murder this week.
It's like the seventh level of the sun right now. It's ridiculous.
So today, we are going to do a Letters from Listeners show because people have asked us to do them, and we never get around to it. And we do have a bunch of questions, which is kind of cool. But before we get to that, just a couple new things on CameraDojo.com for those of you who don't go there all the time. This week, we announced our new Dojo Monochrome Tools Lightroom presets, along with the Power Tools and the Wedding Tools one. These are all for doing monochrome, black and white, grayscale. There's some sepia and some selective color things. They're getting really good reviews. I've got some examples from some other photographers who have really used them and done some neat stuff. The Jeff and Dana Sipper are good friends over there at Sipper Photography. They've been using them, and they just say that they're some of the best black and white presets they've seen. So I'm really excited about those. So if you want to get those, they're all $14.95, or you can get all three for $29.95. But for podcast listeners, get 20% off by using the discount code DOJO20, all lowercase, DOJO20. Don't forget it, 20% off. So take advantage of that.
Yeah, not only that, but last week you were naked because you lost your shirt, your shorts, your drawers, your flip-flops, everything, because I thought you were going to sell out. It was insane.
Well, I did a 50% off while I was testing the shopping cart, and I couldn't believe how many orders came in at 50% off. I'm like, what was I thinking? You know, I ran it for 48 hours. I was like, wow. So it kind of blew me away there. But 50% sale is over. There's 20% off using discount code what?
Dojo 20.
And another really cool article that we put out this week was about color space. Adobe RGB versus sRGB versus Profoto RGB, when to use them, what it really means, why your colors sometimes look all drab when you put an image on the web. And I think that's going to help a lot of people. We had some feedback from our friends over at Adobe to help us write that and make sure that the information was accurate. So I think a lot of people have been commenting on it, so I think it really helped people.
Had a few comments here and there, one or two, maybe three or four, you know.
But it's a common problem. I mean, people don't really understand it. They think that Adobe RGB is smaller than sRGB, meaning super RGB, when it really means small RGB, you know.
And super,
yeah, but it's not. It's the opposite. But read the article. It's over there on CameraDojo.com, and I think you'll get a lot out of it. And you know, it'll help make sense of color space and when to use each one. So fair enough. So there's our new things over there. Don't forget to check out Pictage Light. That's really cool stuff over there. That's really going strong. There's a link to that right there on Camera Dojo. We've got the David Zeiser's Wake Up Call seminar is going. They've started doing the ones on the East Coast, and they're working their way west. So don't forget, you can get 20% off on that by using discount code ZKG. DWC09. I know you'll never remember that.
Whatever. You better put that in the notes.
If you go to cameradojo.com, it's in the upper right-hand corner of the webpage. You'll see save $20 on David Zeiser's Digital Wake Up Call Seminar. Click on that. You'll get the discount code. Makes it $59. I mean, how can you go wrong with this thing? I mean, it's going to be an incredible thing. If you are in Southern California, May 20th, I'll be there. Make sure you're there. Okay. This is going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome event. So,
hey, you're going to be there in the dojo guy, like the orange guy. Aren't you going to be wearing the costume?
You know, it's not going to be ready in time. I tried. It's not going to be ready in time.
And then if you did, you'd have to meet up with Candace Cunningham so she could give you tips and tricks on how to say dojo.
Dojo. Yeah.
Dojo.
She does that really well.
She has like animation for it and everything. It's really cool. She's all dojo.
So let's go ahead. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back and we will get started with our letters from listeners. And we're back and we've got a handful of cool questions that have come in. The first one I want to get to is John Bergsing. He asked, exactly what do you take to a wedding? Not just lenses, but everything.
And now, he really emphasized the word exactly.
He said
everything. Used everything.
And the problem with that answer is we actually started recording the answer. And after 35 minutes, and we realized we were probably, you know,
halfway
through, that was just going to be a really boring show for everybody else.
It was getting boring for us.
We're like, this game boring for us. We're like, oh my God. And then I'm saying stuff and it's reminding David, and David's thinking of mentioning stuff. I'm like, oh, well, I forgot that whole pile over here. And it would have been an hour long show just talking about all the little individual pieces we take to a wedding. What we are going to do to answer this question, though, is...
But wait. I'm just going to have to say this, Carrie, and I'm going to have to copy off of an excellent movie, No More and Then. No More and Then, okay? That's it. No More and Then.
And then...
No More and Then.
What we're going to do to answer this question is David and I are going to make a big effort to update the Our Gear page that's on cameradojo.com with all of the stuff that we take to a typical shoot. And that will answer the question. It'll take us a little while to make sure everything is updated on there. We're not that far from it, but we do have a lot of extra stuff that we can add to that. So it's not like we're trying to blow off your question, but the answer was really, really long.
Really? It was totally out of control.
So we'll update that, and then maybe we'll come back and do a show about some of the more specific gear or the most common gear that we use, because we always take way more than we need, because you just never know. Sometimes you end up and you have just so much extra time on your hands, you can pull out gear that you don't normally get a chance to play with and start experimenting and trying different things. Other times you're just so busy, you're only using the most basic things to whip through the day. Now, I have a 10-hour shoot coming up this weekend. In 10 hours, it could be complete chaos, or I could have 4 hours of just fun time to play around with stuff. So you just never know. So we always take more than we really need. Doesn't answer your question, but we will get to it by filling out more of the information on the Our Gear page. So,
and you know what? What we could also do for that page on the website, I just thought, because we do shove quite a bit of stuff into those Think Tank bags, and people that have bought them have been quite amazed as well, and kind of thought of them in the same way that I do, which is they're kind of like a Chinese food container. It's like you keep putting more and more stuff in, and it never really fills up. Well, we could take a picture. We could take a picture of our bags.
I think everybody who listens to the show should take a picture of their gear bag and post it in the forums.
Dude, absolutely. I think that's a great idea. It took my little idea and ran a little further.
So we will both do that. We'll lay out all of our stuff, and we'll take some pictures of everything, and we'll put it up on the website this week. And we want everybody else to do the same thing.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to clear some floor space.
Okay. The next question we actually had from multiple people. So,
yeah,
a couple different people asked, how do we organize our files in Lightroom? And David and I have answered this several times in the past on shows, but we'll just cover it really briefly here because we both do it differently.
Yep.
I have a single catalog for all my images, and I have every image in Lightroom in one catalog going back to 2005. So I can always go back. I can find anything. I have things keyworded. I can type in weddings. Boom, there's all my weddings. I can type in engagements. Boom, there's every engagement shot I've ever done. And the reason why I do that is because I often want to go back and, you know, I'm picking out different images for my gallery, different images for sample albums. I like having everything there. So I make heavy use of folders, heavy use of collections. I make use of smart collections, and that's how I organize.
And then moi, on the other hand, I do it a little bit different. And also I want to interject, you guys, that it's whatever works best for you. I found that the way Carrie did it or does it, it just wasn't working for me. I was just feeling extremely overwhelmed. For me, I just do simple folders, and I will have, like right now I'm looking at one of my hard drives, and it's just got folders of all of the current events, projects, weddings, engagement shoots, blah, 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 and it's all in there. Once I'm done with the project, it's been delivered, it's backed up, and I'm no longer using it, I actually delete that folder out of Lightroom. I like to keep my Lightroom as clean as possible, and that works for me. I feel very accomplished when it's done. I'm more than likely not going to go back and reference those files, and if I do, I've got the raw images, and I've also got my processed JPEGs. That works for me. So do keep in mind, there isn't a right or a wrong way to do it. It's a way that seems to work best for you. And try it Carrie's way and see if it works for you. If it doesn't, try it my way, see if it works. Neither one of our two ways may work for you, and you might come up with something completely different. And if you do, tell us about it, because I'm always game to become more efficient and be a lot more productive with my workflow. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm sorry that we didn't have one answer for you. Gavin Syme over at Pro Photography Show, he does a catalog for every client as well. So David's not the only person who does it that way, and I'm certainly not the only person who does it the way I do it. So it's just a matter of what you want to do. Me, I would much rather end up with 20 terabytes of data online so I can have every image I've ever done. Now, that's just silly. You get to a point where it becomes silly, because there's certainly images from weddings from 3 years ago that I'll never use because they're dated or they may not have been my best work. And, you know, you get better every year, you hope. And so I probably shouldn't do it so far back. But to me, I also go back and I have ones that are flagged a certain way. So if I want some personal inspiration without going and looking at other people's stuff, which I do as well, but I just kind of want to look at my best work, I can just look at smart collection of my fives, and there's the best stuff that I've ever done, and that's kind of a preparation thing for me. So that's one of the reasons why I do that. Okay, Robbie Clark asks, have you ever had trouble with scratches on the view screen for your DSLR, and do you use any clear film over the surface?
Yes. What's interesting is that I started to answer that question quite a bit at length earlier today with him, and then realized, wait a minute, we should probably address this for the podcast that we're going to be recording later on tonight. I know for me, what I use on mine, let me just grab the extra bit that I've got here. It's going to sound really cheap, but it works. The Quantaray digital camera and camcorder screen protectors. I picked it up at Ritz Camera, and it's a universal size that fits up to 5-inch digital screens. It's a clear micro-thin film that protects the LCD, and you're able to cut it to size and kind of trim off the edges, round them, whatever you want to do. I think that they work great, and the product was like, I think, $10 or something. It's crazy. The receipt's actually in here. $9.99 plus tax. So, and there's like a packet. There are 15 screens in this packet, so works out pretty cheap for me, because I'll probably go through a couple of them every year on each individual camera. But Carrie, didn't you say that Maurice just reviewed some?
Yeah. Well, in March, so about a month ago, Maurice did a review of the Gyodos camera screen protectors, and these are actually sheets of glass. I mean, they're really, really crazy. I mean, let me try and see what the price on these things was. Yeah, the Gyodos screen protectors run from $24 to $45. So that may seem like a lot of money, but it actually is multiple layers of glass, so they transmit light better. They've got multiple levels of anti-reflection coating, so it's not just a screen protector, but you also get a lot of anti-glare and anti-reflection stuff on them. You know, that is the top of the line. You can go, you know, definitely just generic ones. You can get ones that are custom cut for your camera. Certainly, you should put some type of protective coating on your LCD, not just for yourself and to keep scratches off of it, but at some point you're probably going to sell the camera when you upgrade, so you want your stuff to be in as good a shape as possible. So we highly recommend putting a protective covering on that. Okay,
moving. What's next?
Jesse Baynard says, I'll read the whole thing, in regards to weddings, I know the customer is number one, and that it's all about making them happy on their special day. Isn't that true? But sometimes, personalities, expectations, or other situations can turn a relationship bad. Do you ever turn a potential client down if you think they are not a good fit? The budget too tight, but bridezilla, not getting your style, methods, humor, etc. And do you think it's ever okay to fire a client after they've signed a contract if you can contractually do that? So that's an excellent question. And I would certainly say that when you have the initial consultation with them, not only are they interviewing you, but you should be interviewing them. So that is certainly one way of looking at that, is you need to make sure that your personality fits them and that you have some kind of chemistry with the client. It is perfectly acceptable to just say, you know what, I'm not feeling this. I'd rather not do the work with you. It may irk somebody, but whatever. Now, can you fire a client after they've signed a contract? And that's going to be a tough one, and that may vary in different states. I'm not really sure from a legal point of view what you can do about that. I would imagine that anyone that I've worked with, if I got to a point where I didn't want to work with them, I would think, why would they want to work with somebody that doesn't want to work with them? And I would give them their money back and we'd go our separate ways. But if you think that might be a problem, you might want to put into your contract that you can back out, you know, so many days before the wedding or something. I've never had a problem with that. We have had clients that their budget was too tight and we've had to tell them that we can't do their work. I haven't dealt with any bridezillas per se, and I get along with all my clients so far. So I've had really good luck there. David, do you want to take a spin on that?
Sure, why not? Oh, nuke them all. That's all I got to say. No, being a little ornery because it's been hot here in Southern California. It's been bad, so I'm just a little punchy. But then what else is new? Carrie, you're supposed to say that. Come on, man. Come on. I thought you'd be jumping in.
I was looking at other questions.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah, you know what? The customer is number one and is not number one. There are some unrealistic expectations that can happen. You do want to do everything within your power to capture their day, but I want to share with you that you're not there to make them happy. You're hired as a photographer, so it's not your responsibility to make them happy on their day. You're just there to be the photographer. Should you do anything else above and beyond doing your best job to capture their day and the best ability that you are given, that is up to you. I happen to take everything that I do and take it to the nth degree in terms of level of customer service and really rolling out the red carpet, because I'm sure you guys know as well as we know that regular people want to be treated like celebrities and vice versa. Celebrities want to be treated like regular people. We don't all have the opportunity of working with celebrities, so we want to treat our regular people just like us, like celebrities. We all want to feel special. So keep that in mind, that it is not your responsibility to make them happy. They are number one, but you will run into situations where there will be unrealistic expectations or other things that may be asked of you, and you are able to say, no, that is totally cool. Make sure you do put that in your contract, that in a sense, like California, it's an at-will employment state. You or the client can say, see ya, and call it a day. I have in the past turned down weddings during the interview process. There's actually a bit of a joke that I use during that interview process when we're sitting down and talking to the potential client, and I will flat out ask the groom, is she a bridezilla? And is he a groomzilla? Are the parents driving you nuts? I do a bit of a drama check because I want to know what I'm getting into. Kind of like, you know, dipping your toe into the water of the pool. It's like, is this okay? Is it cool? Or are we getting ready to jump into the deep end? Or are we just going to kind of go our separate ways? That's an excellent time to really ask those probing questions. Ask questions about things that are important to you, because it is, in some cases, a very long-term relationship leading up to the day of the wedding. In some rare instances, you may get hired anywhere from a year, 18 months, 2 years out, or even longer. You got to work with these people and vice versa. So it's your happiness as well. Don't just think about it as, oh gosh, I got to get the job, I got to get the money. It is your happiness, and there, everything has a price. Quality of life has a price to it. How much are you willing to give up for that dollar bill? Let's see here. The other bit that was in the question, do you turn down a potential client? Not good fit, budget too tight, bridezilla, covered all that. And do you think it's okay to fire a client after they've signed the contract? Yes, absolutely. 100% unequivocally, without any hesitation, yes. Should you decide to do that, depending on the timing prior to the wedding, let's say the bride or the groom has completely flipped out and just chewed you a new rear end because they felt like venting and taking it all out on you, you have an option at that point. Do you really want to deal with somebody that can't deal with the stress of prepping for a wedding? How are they going to be on the actual day of the wedding? You can actually do a bit of a prorated return on that.
You do need to check. Yeah. I would check with a lawyer in your area to make sure that you can do that. Because many times, if you both have a signed contract, you are obligated to fulfill that contract. So
See, and we have it in our contract that we're obligated to fulfill the contract. We also have it, I believe, in the contract that we can terminate the contract without notice. We can change the contract without notice. And should anything happen to me, God forbid, a motorcycle accident and I can't shoot it because I'm in traction in the hospital, then I am also obligated to my client to provide somebody of similar talent as me and personality that would be able to shoot their wedding. What I did in order to help CYA for me is I had my attorney take a look at the contract. I also had the PPA's attorneys take a look at the contract, and both of them said, totally cool, spot on federally, spot on the state, and spot on locally. So like Carrie said, get in touch with somebody that can help you with some of the legalese about it. It's absolutely key to really make sure that you are protecting your behind when you're going to do something like that. Carrie? Yeah.
If you don't have that, if you don't have it in your contract and you decide to try and call it quits with someone, then what you're going to need to do is get a signed statement from them that they agree to terminate the contract.
Absolutely. And without bad mouthing you too.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes different people are different. You know, David and I are both very similar in how we work with the clients, in that at the end of the day, as we're saying our goodbyes, if we're not getting hugs from everybody, we didn't do our job well. And yet we have had customers who, you know what, they don't want to see us. They don't want to talk to us. We're just going to be off on the sidelines getting the pictures. At the end of the day, we're going to have them sign our form and we're going to walk out and basically never speak to them again. There's different types of clients, and you have to be able to adapt as well.
Absolutely. It is your responsibility to adapt. And if you are that far into the situation where you're shooting the wedding, you should pretty much know what you're getting into at that point. You really need to have had that open line of communication with your client. My clients know that they can reach me via instant message, Twitter, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and can call me anytime, day or night. I may not grab the phone. I may be asleep, rare, but yeah. Make sure at that point you really truly do know what you're getting into. That is absolutely key. And if you were at the wedding I just shot this past weekend, you would have had your tushy squeezed significantly, because oh my gosh, I don't remember the last time I had so many hugs, kisses, and tushy squeezes from all the aunts. It was crazy, man.
Those are good ones. Those are good ones.
Yeah.
Okay. Kevin nice. Kramer says he's starting up his business for photography and has a few bookings. He shot some weddings before as a second shooter, but finally going out into the wild on his own. His question is about posing. Are there any tips and tricks that you have as far as how you get everyone to pose the proper way, or how do you get it to where it doesn't look unbalanced, is what he's trying to say. If you have any tips for this, that'd be great. Again, I think David and I approach this pretty much the same way. I mean, I started shooting weddings with David, so I probably got most of it from him. Then why don't you go ahead and start?
Me? Okay, sure. Why not? Let me just reach over here on one of my shelves. One of the bits that I've got here is a lookbook, and this is the lookbook that I picked up last year from John Miralles. Over at the photographerstoolkit.com, and then I believe johnmiralles.com as well. Excellent, excellent reference guide to keep handy. I use that from time to time if I'm kind of having a bit of a blonde moment and don't remember what the heck am I supposed to be doing again in terms of posing. I also have some fantastic cards here by Jerry Gionis out of Australia, and they're his pickpockets. Fabulous. Fabulous bits to have with you either out in the field, in the car, or wherever. I keep them here in my office on my desk. I'm looking at a deck right now. Basically, it's like a deck of playing cards. And it has these amazing portraits that Jerry Gionis has done. And on the back is my favorite part. It says what kind of camera he used, lens, the focal length, ISO, aperture, shutter speed.
They're like white little balance. Miniature cheat sheets.
Yeah, these things are sick. And he's got several of them that are out. In fact, I think when I was at the Bam & Jerry conference a few years ago, that's when I had picked up my kit. And I've, from time to time, referenced them. Another thing that you can do if you don't feel like making that type of investment, which it can get kind of spendy at times, go to your local bookstore. Sit down with a pad of paper or your iPhone or whatever your camera phone might be. Open up all your favorite magazines. If you don't have any favorite magazines, learn about some magazines, get some fashion magazines, and look at things that inspire you for posing. Take what you can glean from all of these other photographers and then apply it towards the people that you're working with in front of the camera. And then also what is really key, and Carrie's taken pictures of me doing this, but I have some very excellent pictures of him that make him look very sassy. Show your clients how to pose. And that is an absolutely fantastic thing to do. Show them how you want to sit, stand, turn your head, work with the light. When they can see what you're doing and you're comfortable and confident in your range of motion and how your body reacts and how all of your body is in time and space, they're going to see it and they're going to feel a lot more comfortable, and you've given them an in-person example of what you're looking to do. And that can get some good laughs too.
Well, it's definitely a fantastic icebreaker when you're standing there and you're throwing your chest out and you got your hands on your hip and you're pushing your butt out and you're, you know, but you're trying to show them what to do, mm-hmm. but you're saying they're doing it. And for David and I mean, we're not the smallest guys on the planet. So it's pretty funny. It can be pretty humorous. I got to
yes.
admit.
It's quite comical.
It gets people laughing. And when they're laughing, they're relaxed. And when they're relaxed, they take better images.
And so, then the stories start happening. Then they start telling
so
stories.
Worth it to do that. Just real quickly, if you just want to keep a couple quick basics in your head, what I always do is 45-degree angles towards the center, so that with their shoulders stacked behind them, put their weight on their back leg, put the guys point their toe at me, So, because it'll look nice. Girls usually have a dress on or something, but if they don't, then we want those toes all pointed in the same direction. Make sure that everyone is kind of doing the same thing. You know, guys have a hand in their pocket with their thumb out. Girls have a hand on their hip or something. If you try and be symmetrical, it's going to look okay. It's not. It may not look fantastic, but it's not going to look bad. And that's what you want to avoid. You want to avoid things that look bad. So you want people to be doing the same thing that you can repeat over and over and over again. So get your basic stances down so that you can quickly put people into position, especially when there's no time. When you are crunched for time, it's get them in, get them out, get the shot, next. And so you run people in, you put them at a 45 degree angle with their shoulders, you know, behind each other, line them up, get the toes, get the hands, boom, get the shot, next. So you can do that very, very quickly. They're not going to be the outstanding award-winning photos, but they're going to make people happy because you're going to get the shot, and that's what counts. So there's, oh, and one other tip. If you have a lot of blinkers, this is my favorite tip, okay? It never fails. Almost every group has one. One, two, three, they blink. Like, what are you doing? You know, and so what I'll do, or especially if the sun is really bright, this you can do this as well to keep them from squinting. You tell everyone to close their eyes. And on three, you tell them to open their eyes. One, two, three, everyone opens their eyes. You hesitate just a second to make sure everyone's got their eyes open. Take the shot. Everyone's eyes will be open. They'll be nice and wide, even if it's bright sunlight. So that's another quick little tip for those blinkers out there.
I also wanted to just mention as well that as the client, couple, group, whatever, becomes more and more comfortable in front of the camera with you, that you're going to start picking up some of the natural poses that may happen. And just recently, I was doing an engagement shoot, and I would kind of give them an idea like, okay, well, here's what I'm thinking about doing, and I'd show them. They would sit down, and everybody is, I don't want to say everybody, but the majority of people are extremely self-conscious, and they want to make sure they do it right, and they want to look good, and it may feel very awkward or uncomfortable, and it shows. When they kind of get a feel for how they should sit, stand, pose, whatever it might be, take them out of it. And I've done that numerous occasions. Say, okay, great, that's kind of what I want you to do, and why don't you go ahead and stand up and then sit down and do it again. And it's usually on that second or third sit, stand, pose, whatever it might be, it's a lot more natural. It's a lot more comfortable. And if they're interacting and they're laughing, you're going to get some amazing smiles, some amazing interaction that you're going to capture on camera. It's stellar how it all comes together. And it really shows when you're exuding your confidence level as well. So as we have said many times before, and I know Carrie's an avid fan of it, do your homework. Absolutely.
Amen. I mean, that's the best way to put it. Do your homework, you know, look it up, you know, study other people's stuff.
Yeah. But take a look at Carrie's. Carrie is very geometric and brilliant with how he puts people together. I've looked at some of his work and go, cool. It's like, I just kind of go, dang, I would never have seen it that way. But he sees things differently than I do. And he's very technical, and he will definitely get you to, you know, get those technical and very accurate poses. And then when he throws his personality into it, people start laughing and giggling and having a good time. And geez, you know, never, next thing you know, you're getting hugs from the guys too, and it's a lot of fun. Everybody's relaxed, and you're getting those killer pictures.
Yeah, I mean, it's you have to establish that rapport with people, and the sooner you do it, the better. Preferably, you've done an engagement shoot with them, and so you have that time of getting to know them, and no one else is around, and you can really interact with them, and you build that bond. If you don't have that, then you have to do it on the day of the wedding, which can be very difficult, but it's still possible. And I shoot a lot of those where there was no engagement shoot, and you have to establish that rapport as quickly as you can. So one trick that I have is I almost always start with the women, because they're getting ready. You're getting those shots of them getting their makeup and dressed and all that. The guys don't show up for another 2 hours. So with the bride, I'll sit there, and I will just make her say, you know, I'll go, whose day is it? She'll, mine. I'm like, say it. You know, mine. No, say it. Mine. You know, it's like,
say it like you mean it.
You know, who is this all about? me. Yes, yes, right, you. And so I will just, you know, get her going, you know, and get her fueled up that this is her day, that she's important, that it's all about her. And, you know, then she'll actually like start doing that. You know, someone will say, it's my day, you know, but she'll do it in a fun way, you know. And so it breaks the ice. It gets them going. It gets them laughing. Guys are really easy because for some reason, most guys are completely camera shy. So you have to get them started somehow. And the way I get them going is I have the guys do a pose off. And, you know, six guns, rock the baby, stroke the goat, the thinker, you know, point to the sky, the Superman, you know, and I have all these funny names for different poses that I'll get these guys to do to try and outpose each other. And then I have the groom go last. And so that really breaks the ice with the guys. So there's a couple quick little other techniques you can do to kind of get things started.
Faux shizzle.
Well, that I think we'll wrap it up there. We've been going for a while. We're trying to keep the podcast down, or the time limits down, so people, you know, don't sit in their cars breathing carbon monoxide in their driveways that we've heard of. So we
don't want any listeners dying.
We can't have listeners dying on our watch. That's bad. So well,
there goes the ratings.
We'll cut it here. We do have some
guests. Wait, I have a great idea for a contest. I have a fantastic idea for a contest. You ready? And I think we should do it. I think we should do it. And you know what? Because the monochrome presets and everything did so well, why don't we do a contest? And the winner of the contest maybe could get the presets or maybe an extreme discount or something like that. But the contest is, let's have a pose off. Let's have everybody submit their best photo of the best, most cool pose that you can think of that you would have your subjects do. What do you think?
We can do that. So.
And the winner, you know, we could, and we'll let the listeners vote. We'll create a group on Flickr and everybody can vote on who they think is the best one. And obviously you can vote for your own, but let's have everybody vote on it.
I think that'd be a blast.
Dude, that would be awesome. Throw in some presets, man. That would be cool.
I'm down with that. I'll give away presets.
I'll even submit one. I've got a couple around somewhere. Me and my one look.
Well, that or you on the couch.
During Leah and Daryl's wedding. Yeah, I got a good one of you, too.
Yes, you can submit photos of other photographers posing.
It should be them.
Yes, I'm fairly skinny, about 6 feet tall, and I have spiked blonde hair, just in case everyone's wondering.
Whatever, you are such a liar. I'm like, where are you going?
So when you see that picture of me, you'll know.
And then when you see the picture of me with glasses and kind of a militant looking haircut, A bit of a little chunky monkey around the waist there. You'll know.
And the goat. And the goat.
And the goat. That's right. And the goat. Yeah, whatever. But you guys have to submit a picture of yourself doing your pose off for your clients. So we want to see your best pose off.
A little self-portrait pose off. All right. We'll see if anyone does that. If they do, I'll throw in some presets. That's no big deal.
I want to see if Jeff's going to do it. Jeff Zipper. I think he'd be a good subject for it.
We got to egg him on.
He's got charisma.
All right, folks, we're going to let you go and be sure and get those reviews in on iTunes. We really appreciate that.
Yes,
thank you enough for that. The comments and the feedback, the letters that you send in, the Twitters, the Facebook comments, it really, really helps us keep going every week. And, you know, we're at 45 weeks. We haven't missed a week yet. Come close, but we haven't missed a week yet. But you know, life does get in the way sometimes. But we are coming up on 52, and I am promising you now, 52 will have some surprises. So I'm not going to say anything, but 52 will have some surprises. So we'll just take it from that. But David, what's your website? What's your Twitter? How can they reach you?
Oh, heck. You can find me at esquirephotography.com. You can also get in touch with the agile mind of David Esquire at twitter.com/Esquire Photo. and the lengthy numbers, letters, characters at Facebook. But just do a search, me, David Esquire, Esquire Photography, and I'm on there as well. And then from time to time, you'll see me chime in on Camera Dojo as well. And Carrie, where can we find you?
Well, always at CameraDojo.com as well as CarrieGarrison.com. You can follow the show and the podcast and the website and all the happenings there, as well as other useful photography links, twitter.com/CameraDojo, or me personally, if you're so inclined, at twitter.com/CarrieGarrison. So that's it for this week, and we will catch you next week.
Totally.